Welcome on the occasion of this Alta and teleconference, reporting on H1 2019 results. Moving on to the Delegate General Director, reporting live. Thank you very much for attending our teleconference, reporting on the H1 2019 results, as we're able to discover in the press release. H1 activity has been in line with that of last year's, and has remained sustained in France as internationally. Alten has achieved a consolidated revenues of €1.292.3 billion as end of June 2019, up 17.5% against last year. In France, the activity has been up 13.4%, outside of France, 21%. The organic growth pace has remained high throughout the half year, greater than 12%. The organic growth of the Q2 stands at 12.4%, after Q1 at 12.6%, organic growth at 12.5% for the half year. Contributed to 4.3% of the growth, and Forex at 0.7%. Indeed, 27% of the activity of Alten has been achieved in currencies, and is exclusive USD and the Swedish crown, and that relates to the Forex impact. Indeed, this year, H1 has accounted well one negative calendar day, and against last year, and has been penalized the activity to the tune of 4.7% at a number of working days constant. The organic growth would have stood at 13.2%, making up for the negative impact in terms of calendar effect in terms of H1. On the contrary, H2 should account for 0.7% of the calendar effect, so an extra 0.7% of calendar effect in H2, and should make up the negative effect of H1 in terms of negative calendar effect. Q2 2019, with a total growth of the business reaching 17.5% as in Q1. Organic growth has been up 12.5%, 14.3% in France, 10.9% outside of France. The activity rate in H1 stands at 91.9%, slightly down against last year, was 91.8% in H1 and 92% in 91.8% in Q1, 92% in Q2. Alten employs 35,500 employees, of which 31,200 consultants, for total headcounts of 33,700 as end of December 2018. Total headcounts have grown by 1,800 since the end of 2018. And this relates to the organic growth to the tune of 1,180 employees, 420 related to acquisitions. So looking at all the geographical areas, they've been growing in the course of this half year. In France, activity is growing 13.4%. The most dynamic areas are aerospace, thanks to Airbus OP and OEMs, life sciences, and thanks to pharmacy, energy plus 14, as well as nuclear plus 21%, and oil and gas plus 11%. So the activity has grown across all of the clients except for Total. The growth has remained sustained in Faro, Naval 24.5%, and in Diaz 23.3%. Automotive industry accounting for a significant areas has experienced growth below that of the average growth within the group's OEMs, including PSA, has been making progress, but has been going down across the OEMs in the automotive industry. Internationally, growth has been heterogeneous, depending on geographical areas, on a per geographical areas basis. North America activity up 24.6%, of which 70% organic growth, as in 2018. This will come as no surprise. We'll have automotive industries plus 33, with Volvo, Ford, and Honda, as well as OEMs going up. Energy plus 55%, thanks to PMO and Agile, so consulting-related activities. Life sciences plus 57% thanks to pharmaceutical industries, medical equipment, finances and service industry plus 13%. In Germany, the activities has recovered since the end of 2018 with organic growth penalized by one negative calendar effect and against the as a result of Q2, growth stands at 4.4% this half year, up 5.5% in the automotive industry, accounting for 46% of revenues, and 5% in aerospace. The activity in aerospace has been going up, not with the OEMs, but with constructors. And this relates to notably, and the activities like TechTalk has been stabilized again at the end of last year. In Scandinavia and Nordic countries, growth stands at 21%, of which 11 related to organic growth of Finland, accounting for 20% of revenues of Nordic countries. Growth has reached 13%. So notably 10% related to telecom with Ericsson in Sweden. And most importantly, diversification of the portfolio. And this has allowed us to reap the benefits in the field of industrial equipment goods, 44%. So a dominant area, obviously automotive industries as well as heavy trucks. This has slowed down at 6%, accounting for 52% of the Swedish revenues. In Spain, organic growth has slowed down during this second quarter. It's been penalized by one negative calendar effect or day against last year, standing at 8.3% in the course of this half year. Only the defense sector has grown 13%, as well as all the and as per the other significant sectors, they've been going up 4 to 8% across the board. In let's go to Southern Europe now. Italy, the pace of growth has been maintained, and at a particularly high level, 20%. With one negative calendar effect, and the activity has been driven by finance service industries plus 31%, defense sector 32%, EMM plus 19%, and industries plus 25% in Asia Pacific, was still driven by China, and organic growth at 48%, China Auto, EMM, Aero, and India in EMM and telecom. For the local markets in the UK, we've seen a degrowth of 4% as a result of major sectorial disparities, as you are aware of. ONG in the UK only accounts for 5% of revenues, still going down 50% against last year, but other sectors of activities have grown, particularly in terms of the subsidiaries around the world. And conversely, Nuclear, thanks to the EPR projects, has been up 17%. The aerospace sector is plus 17%. OEM sectors, automotive industry, 27%. And this one has slowed down finally. And so this service industries accounts for 15% as a result of the Brexit-related context in Belgium. The activity has stabilized as a result of the discontinuation of a significant project and made up for and other sectors going up. So in Belgium overall, Ferro plus 35%, NRG 78%, EMM 24%, and Pharma has been stable. So in the Netherlands, the growth has been stable with significant work packages. And we can see that we've showed that we were capable to support major projects. So coming back to the Netherlands, the growth has been stable, driven by the electronic and semiconductor sectors. Other activities has been growing significantly. The financial services, plus 9%, account for 18% of revenues of the Netherlands. Industries, plus 25%. And life sciences going up over in excess of 25%. If we now look at our activities from the point of view of pure kind of sector, all of the sectors' activities have been growing this year. Even ONG, automotive industries accounted for 20.9% of revenues, has been up 9% in the continuation of the in line with last year. OEMs, in at OEMs, the average growth stands at 10%, with the likes of FCA, Toyota, Renault, Volvo Cars, Volkswagen, Porsche, Daimler, PSA, and has gone down with the likes of BMW, Ford, Tata, and JLR. And so we can see that we've seen with that, with OEM, the average growth stands at 8.5%, with the likes of Bosch, Bosch, Magna, Faurecia, others have been going down, the likes of Conti, ZF, Valeo, Magneti, the ferro and the naval at accounted for 4% of revenues, aerospace 16.1% revenues, quite a sustained pace, 17.5%, with OEM growth has been mainly related to Airbus wings and AAH, with a very strong growth with Safran, RR, and DAIR. Defense and security, 4.7% of revenues, 17% related to the likes of Airbus, DS, Thales, Safran, Leonard, MBDA. Energy, 10% of revenues, up 10.5%. Growth has sped up, 5.3% related to ONG. And except for Total, in terms of growth, for the first time since 2014, this has been a turnaround of the activity in the sectors. So everyone has been experiencing growth except for Total. So the growth rate has accelerated in nuclear with over 21% thanks to activities of EDF. Other industries account for 5.7% of revenues, accelerating their growth pace to 18% in Q2, 16% on average in H1. And due to industrial OEMs and goods manufacturers, telecoms, and with the likes of Ericsson in Sweden, achieving 9%, telecoms have delivered good performance in Q2. And the whilst the Q1, and so growth of 9%. So Ericsson in Sweden, in the US, in India has driven, apart from Ericsson, all the OEMs on the market have seen their growth slowing down. And this is a result of the lack of significant projects in 5G as things stand. So 5G should be launched or is thought to be launched in the near future. The network is thought to be rolled out, deployed, and the first studies will be starting as early as 2020. Electronic activities, multimedia accounted for 6% of revenues, growth of 11.5% thanks to the microelectronics and semiconductors, which additional accounts the likes of ASML, Infineon, Advantest, HP, and the e-commerce sectors, Amadeus is a case in point. Finance and services, 18.5% of revenues, up 77.7% in the sectors. It's a slowdown in Q2. External growth, so Altenders achieved 6 acquisitions internationally during Q1. So I'd report on that on the occasion of our latest call. And we acquired a company in the UK, mostly in the UK, in Australia, in the US as well. This is a company operating in project data management in the automotive industry, delivering 11 million in revenues last year. In India, we acquired small companies. We completed an acquisition in the field of semiconductors, a small acquisition, and this company has achieved 8.5 million euros in revenues, employing 260 people. In Denmark, we completed acquisition of very small companies, 45 people, and with extremely interesting referencing in the LS business lines. So in the first half year 2019, performance of the group has been satisfactory. The economic context, the economic environment remains favorable and in line, and the results of the groups are in line with the first quarter and first half year. It's likely that the results will be double digit between for the whole year. So investments are continuing and being rolled out in identical situations as those that we've been describing. I shall now hand it over to the participants. If you can just open the call so that the participants can submit their questions. So if you wish, please dial 0 if you wish to submit a question.
Nous avons une première question de Grégory Ramirez.
We have one first question from Gregory Ramirez. Well, good evening, Bruno. Two quick questions. From what you've been describing, you're telling us that the recruitment context has remained favorable. I was wondering, isn't there any overheating areas in terms of recruitment in every one of the countries that the group operates in? That would be the first question, meaning in terms of the capacity to recruit, to hire. And a second question on acquisitions, could you give us some indications as to the profitability of these assets? As to the recruitment, well, things are not obviously easy, given the context, nothing new. So we have a wide variety of types of recruitments going on. And so we have consultants in charge of recruitment, and they have not reported on specific challenges in the field regarding acquisitions. If I can give you indications pertaining to margins, given the size of companies, the management systems are pretty if not absent, they're pretty basic. So we have to work out the margins post acquisitions. So the one company we bought, we took over in the U.K., achieved a growth of 4%. So 11% in India in semiconductors, and the one we took over in Denmark has an EBIT is 4%. So if we are capable of optimizing the loss of contracts of these companies, we'll probably see this figure going up in terms of the EBIT. Next question from Richard Ebicitas-Oudo.
Good evening, Bruno. Quick question on the margin of the C20. We know that there are negative calendar effects. I understand that the German market has been challenging in H1, and there's been an IFRS 16 positive effect. Can you quantify these impacts, please? If you can assist us. I'm not going to get into the details of the Q1 margin, but as you've highlighted, we're losing one days of work. That stands at 0.7% on the revenues and 4.5% to 0.6% on the margin. So in these situations, we've experienced those situations in the past. This gives you an idea as to the landing in terms of the margins. Now, in terms of the H1 has been changing in Germany and other geographical areas as well. The margin for Germany will not be satisfactory in H1, but will not be worse than that of last year, because last year we had experienced challenges in the subsidiaries. So even if it stays limited, it will not impact from a differential standpoint against last year the margins of H1 overall. And there are also positive effect we should note. If we consider that the pluses make up for the minuses, it's a very simplistic way of looking at it, but we'll fare pretty well. Accounts have not been closed for H1, and they're still in progress, and there will be no specific or any particular surprises as to the margins overall. Maybe one question on the financial sectors, and are there any specific accounts that come to your mind as examples of slowing down? The sector of insurance, banking sector as well. Not talking about the U.K., because here in the U.K. it's really clearly slowing down, in France and other countries, as a result of the impact of slowing down of the performance of the banking sector, not so strong this year against last year. And we've seen this in the size of tendering and call for tenders. As a result of this, the growth that we had last year, I think the pace of growth has slowed down. I think we'll have a second half year in keeping with the first half year. We're not anticipating a growth to accelerate in the banking sector. Copy that. Thank you very much, Bruno. We don't have any additional questions for the time being. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to put your questions, please dial one on your telephone handset. We have one question from Laurent Millot from Kepler Cheuvreux. Two questions there, Bruno. I want to come back to the Q2 recruitments. So Q2 recruitments has been not such a clear improvement. Maybe there's an issue with regards to the churn. rate. Could you clarify what is happening there recruitment-wise? Please, indeed, recruitments, net recruitment of Q2 have been less, well, not as good as those of Q1. And if we compare to last year, it's not so good compared to Q2 2018, although Q1 was more or less in line with Q1 2018. So between Q1 2018 and Q1 2019. So the Q2 recruitment drive has been unprecedented. And so we end up in a more or less the same configuration as when we had a Q2 that was lower in net recruitment, and then we had a very strong end of the year with lots of recruitments going on in September and October periods. So this is what I can say for the time being. Maybe this is too early days to come to some conclusions, but what happened in Q1, Q2, especially in France, is that we've seen an acceleration of people leaving, although the start of the quarter had gone pretty well. And we had as many as those at end of June, so we'll have to see between incoming and outgoing people, and we've seen lots of major projects being discontinued in Q2 in the field of aerospace, and these people have not been rehired on new projects. This is one of the impacts. This has impacted the recruitment because managers have recruited, but not to the same extent. So this has created, this has generated an imbalance. And we've seen a slowdown in banking, financing, and insurance industries. So sales managers who've been authorized to recruit have obviously slowed down their recruitment drive, and with the intercontract period, and still with France, because this is where the action is happening, there's a phenomenon related to the growth of offshore. We can almost work out a ratio between the number of hired engineers in France versus the increase in headcounts in offshore, in jobs, notably in the automotive industry. So as a result, when a project is driven in France, or even more so than last year, there can be a kind of offshoring bizarre. So if we take revenues in France, so what happens is the headcounts are no longer in France. For the most part, they are now in Morocco or outside of the borders of France. As a result, this can be seen in French headcounts. And this, if we look at France and international operations, that explains the imbalance at the expense of France. And the revenues are accounted for in France, yeah. So the diluting, in fact, so it means that so you should have the local side, so more internationally related for a similar price in terms of the how would that translate in terms of extra revenues against the dilution in terms of your offshore employees? What would be the overall positions? I'm talking about growth here. If you have onshore, offshore, stable pricing, if we look at an estimator, and the fact of having more headcounts, because you're going to be recruiting in areas where the labor price is lower. Without any figures to back this up, it's really difficult to answer these questions. So when it comes to onshore and offshore, we have achieved a plus 115, and in India 130, that's 250 people recruited. This is over the quarter. So the average stands at 125, 130. If we look at the impact, this can be measured as a result of the recruitment delta. So this gives you the lost revenues. This is only theoretical because, in fact, if you can't meet a request of average price, it stands at a given level. There will always be competitors able to optimize their cost, their pricing, employing or recruiting locally. With what margins, I don't know. But in fact, the onshore and offshore debate is, as long as we can defend market shares in terms of our responsiveness, to positively respond to a client's request, given a different context, allows us to maintain our revenues, which we would have lost had we not done what we did. So we can take the market 10% lower or 15% lower in offshore. This becomes a kind of a margin. We eat up on margins. So to meet our clients' requirements in terms of the product, because that's what we are here for, irrespective of the fact that we've seen significant growth in onshore, as this such is the case right now, this generates significant issues when it comes to getting things organized, the logistics aspects, in terms of telecom, in terms of managing people. So it's not as simple as it seems. In the switching significant headcounts from France, Germany to Morocco and or India. So in terms of the average price, because you've seen increase in prices on onshore headcounts, but you have dilution and offshore. So what's the? Have you managed to work out an average price? As we have switched to offshore, we need to look at this pricing by sector, because this is really about the aeronautics sectors and telecoms as well as automotive. So in these sectors of activities, we've seen prices going down, financial prices, not sales prices, right? Yeah, I get it. And when you look at, in terms of this project, the average cost of headcounts, have you managed to regain your margins, your covering margins in terms of percentage? In percentage, yes. Because, well, we protect a minimum of gross margins. Even if we switch part of the activities from onshore, we're going to be delivering projects between 30, 35, 40% of gross margin. And these are project gross margins. This is not the company, the group gross margins, because we have to take into account intercontracts, trainings, ramp-up, local investment cost, which might be used or unused. Some of the projects, it's like direct project cost, and we can extract margin rates. Now, the impact of this evolution of the business is that the upfront is in Europe, in Germany. Technical teams are in Europe, so they are European priced. So overall, if we try to work out these pooling efforts, this is really about maintaining the levels of margins. And if you can share with us whether you've had a direct or indirect feedback from the clients as to how things have panned out, and between so and maybe possible risks, should there be any acceleration of the business in Europe? To be honest with you, not that I want to elude the questions, I don't think I am the best person to answer this question, because I don't know how these, you know, I don't know about the various modalities or processes of onboarding, depending on projects, business lines, where synergies are going to be or are delivered, what the impacts for clients are, with very high market positions, too high at times, even. Will clients appreciate so approaches in the same way, or will have a kind of business line related approach, an approach driven by the technical sort of teams? So I don't know. I'm not even sure that we need to see how this applies and what's the experience out there over the course of 6 months to a year. So this is not a stress-generating issue in terms of so far as you're concerned. No, it is not. Next question from Perrette Marcon from Société Générale. Hello, Bruno, Derek. Do you refer to Laurent's questions? Had you delivered 977 for Q1, we've been okay, and 226 in Q2. In moving along, how do you reconcile the comments for France, showing even for automotive industry is picking up? In terms of the sharing in Q2 in France, there's a double effect. So there's what we have on board, and that is a pretty strong effect. Then we have a snapshot as of the 30th of June, which means that we're almost stable on the half year, or quarter, sorry, says the speaker, or going up and then going down. Because what happened is that headcounts have continued going up until the 15th of May. And then we started taking in major missions. Following that, these people continue to produce in the meantime, as it is part of Laurent's questions on offshore and onshore projects. The revenues have been driven by France. And then we have, so what you described is coming as subcontracting operations for France. Now, if you look at the snapshot as end of June, if you work at the onboard growth, so on Q3, Q4, now, that's not how we work this out in the way we've rendered these calculations to validate the to validate the 8% at least of H2 growth. Yes, indeed. Okay. And a final. I'm pretty sure we'll be delivering this 8%. In France, can you give us the Q2 growth? Because you said there's an evolution between Q1 and Q2. I don't have this figure off hand. Well, I will give you this figure later. Okay? Thank you very much, Bruno. This is at group level. So on a like-for-like scope or perimeter, $11.9 in Q1 and a bit more in Q2, which is not below the levels of growth as we'd experienced. It's been going on for 18 months now. So, Prihai, you get used to these levels of sort of double-digit growth. You get used to it. So, doing 9 or 8% is, you know, takes a lot of effort. So, challenging environment indeed. Thank you very much, Bruno. You're welcome. Next question from Anthony from Bottenbach. Good evening, Bruno. A few questions. Just to come back to acceleration of growth in Q2. So have you smoothened out the calendar? Or what about the maybe recruitments? Could these maybe hamper your growth, your dynamic? So in the aerospace sector, remaining pretty dynamic in this sector, do you have any visibility in 2020 on projects, notably in digital? As we are expecting a strong growth next year, right? It's impossible to answer. 70% of growth in aerospace next year seems to me unachievable because there's a lot of major projects that have been launched over the past years, and the portfolio of call for tenders this year, there we've seen fewer projects in the pipeline, so accounted for several millions of euros. There are major projects in data science, digital, and manufacturing and engineering, notably on design, and these have been in progress. So I can't really answer specifically because we would need to know about the budget, the client's budget for 2020 and the technical impact or engineering impact. We'll only be able to kind of grasp a better idea of this next year. But I don't think we will obtain such a level of growth. This is what I would say. So, yes, there was one question about the growth in France, which I wanted to put to you. And this is about what Derek asked about. There were 60 days in Q2, so 60 and 62 days, this is calendar effect. The delta is quite minor. Activity rate is comparable by and large to that of last year. So this has been related to the growth achieved at the end of Q1. And with the significant growth portfolio there, as I explained, irrespective of the fact that we have a slight degrowth, in fact, if we talk about number of people in a project, and we've... And There's been an evolution in the pricing. Few changes there. How is Q3 recruitment going to evolve with the fact of not having increased the prices in Q2? Will this hamper the onboarded growth in Q3 and against the 2018 market? So the curve has flattened out until the end of Q2 in actual fact. This will have an effect not on Q3 growth. On top of that, Q3 is freed up by paid vacations in Q2. But if equipment in Q3 remain stable or flat, what about organic growth? So net recruitment in Q2 stands at 266% for international operations, minus 40 in France as of the 35th June. And we acquired 420 people, or we hired in 420 people internationally. So organically and internationally, we've seen a decline in headcounts. Headcounts are not going down. It's just that headcounts are not going to the same extent, right? That's okay. Just wanted to clarify. What about the turnover rate? It is stable around 24-25. No change in the trends. So major, the number of people leaving as end of May will not impact the turnover rate. And we'll have to see if we continue to see more people leaving than we have, as we should at the end of every month. We'll have to wonder what's happening in terms of turnover, but there's no specific warning from the part of the managers, as was the case in 2017, as a number of or greater number of people leaving the engineer population. Or the most, as we've put in place a network, a HR network, with people in charge of meeting, interviewing engineers on a regular basis, making sure they're happy with their projects, what about their career development, and all the likes. And the satisfaction rate has been stable. Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. Next question from Mathieu Lamininière from Invest Security. Good evening. I just had one question on Germany. Can you come back in more details as to activity in Germany, Germany updates? I think there's, indeed you've described the improvements in the automotive industry. What about the dynamic? Are we to expect slowing down, or more specific phenomenon specific to the quarter? I gave you two or three items of organic growth, so Q1, Q2, and H1. So there's one negative calendar effect. So had we not had that, we'll probably be talking 4.5. So this is a minor slowing down. So 1 point between Q1 and Q2 allows to, in terms of the activity rate in Germany, This depends on the commercial activity, but it's very much linked in the way projects start off with clients, as we have more and more work packages in Germany. So major-sized projects, as opposed to many countries, we've seen many customers, many clients, if an agreement is given on the project, they will not they will wait for all the administrative procedures to start it, to actually start a project. So when in France, even if we technically have to recover or to process orders, engineer can start much earlier. But in Germany, it doesn't work like that. Clients give their approval for project start, and then sometimes project only starts 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, either because the client is not ready or because the order has not been validated, approved across all the levels of the companies, and then we will then have to start a project once all of these is completed. So we'll have this particular constraint to manage for Germany. So growth has been heterogeneous in the field of the automotive industry. We've seen OEMs, automotive industries, so groups doing well growth-wise. We can't regard the whole of the automotive industry as going down, but the growth has been heterogeneous. So it's just because the growth has been slightly more limited in Q2, but only slightly. We don't have any further questions for the time being. If you wish to submit your questions, please dial 0 on your telephone handset. Next question from Cyril Lemonnier. It's disconnected. We don't have any further questions. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to submit a question, please dial 1 on your telephone handset. We don't have any further questions. Why such is not the case? I will close this teleconference. Thank you very much for attending, and enjoy your summer recess. Enjoy your vacations. And we shall meet again on the 20th of September when the quarter results of Alten will be published. Thank you very much. And goodbye, ladies and gentlemen. The conference is now over. Thank you very much for attending. You may now...